I want to minister a message right quick to you guys that's simply entitled The Power in the Blood. And here's the reason that I want to sing, or I want to preach this message, and then obviously we sing about the power that's in the blood. And let me try to get positioned where it's not quite as windy on this microphone. I think that a lot of people right now have been talking about the Passover. How many of you know what the Passover is? Because if you don't, let me kind of explain the Passover, because it's a Jewish holiday that God used to help the Israelites escape from slavery. Now, there's a whole group that some of you might know about. It's called the Red Ribbon Group, and they have formed a group where thousands of people are a part of this group, where they put a ribbon over the door frame of their house. And obviously this was found in Exodus chapter 12. And if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to that, Exodus chapter 12. And I want to read just for a second about the Passover, and then we're going to talk about the power that's in the Passover. I want to try to ease across this one time. Look at this. Nice. Not too bad. I'm going to try to get here where the wind is kind of out of this microphone. Again, the Passover was very important, and it's again a Jewish holiday. Let's read about it in Exodus chapter 12, and let's start in verse 7. Again, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to it, because here's what it says. And they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Now skip down to verse 12, and we'll read 12 and 13, and check out what it says. Because on that same night, I will pass through Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn, both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all gods, that's little gods. And then, that's the gods of Egypt. And the Bible then says, I am the Lord. Now look what 13 says. And the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destruction, no plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Now, obviously, we know that we're in the midst of a plague. And so a lot of these people are putting red ribbons or red cloths or something over their door frames. And I'm not against that, because if you actually read about this red door group, you'll see that they even stated themselves that to put a red ribbon over the door is an okay thing. But we have to understand and know that there's no power in a red ribbon. Say amen to that. But there is power in what it represents and the faith behind it, which is the blood of Jesus. But how deep does His blood run by the blood? How many of us actually use the power and apply it to our lives? So this morning, real fast, I want to deal with what the blood of Jesus actually signifies, what it simplifies, and here's what it does. It symbolizes a cleansing and a purification to settle a matter. That's exactly what the blood does. Now, obviously, we understand that we are here this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But I think it's important to understand that if Jesus was raised from the dead and He's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, then we need to know why he actually was crucified. Why did he have to shed his blood? And I know we can get into a lot of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament things about what happened and how we were under the old law, the law of sin and death. But I want to tell you about the power of the blood of Jesus. So listen to me carefully. The blood is actually represented by God's love. And the greatest expression of his love toward us is the blood of Jesus. I begin to write down some things that his shed blood caused for you and I as believers in Christ Jesus, because there's something about the power of the blood. Now, I do have to tell you one thing, that there are some versions of the Bibles that they're trying to make that has tried to take out the blood in your Bible. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, because if we hadn't had the shed blood of Jesus, we wouldn't have the benefits of what you and I have today, and we wouldn't have the power, I'm talking the dunamis power of God, like you and I have available to us by the shed blood of Jesus. So let me tell you just a few things about the blood, because through the blood, it is love that has created a barrier between you and all the works of the devil. And I think you and I can agree today that the coronavirus and all the things that are happening today are not of God. They are definitely of the devil. Listen to me. We said this last week. God is good and the devil is bad. Say that with me again today. God is good and the devil is bad. If you understand that, you'll serve God with all of your might. You'll kind of understand that when bad things happen, it is not God that causes them to happen. Now listen to me. God can cause anything bad to turn into good. We all realize that. Say amen if you do. Because listen, it's not good to have thousands of people dying because of a virus. It's not good that millions of people have been affected by this virus. So we understand that it's bad. So if God is good, then we need to understand that all of his promises that was shed by his blood, all of it gives us things for victory. The power of the blood has provided everything you need to live a life of victory. Praise God. Here's another thing that I want you to begin to write down, that the blood of Jesus actually gives you and I as believers in him. It gives us redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says we have redemption through his blood. You see, the shed blood of Jesus redeemed us from sin. I think that's a pretty important thing to understand, that it was because of his blood that redeemed us from the power of sin. In other words, if you look at Romans, you and I can say no to sin. It does not have power over you and I as a believer. Now, I realize that a lot of people use that scripture that says, yeah, but brother, we all fall short of the glory of God. And listen, that is true. But sin still does not have to have dominion over us. So God gave us the power to say no to sin, to say no to the devil, just like he gave us the power to say yes to Jesus Christ, to be the Lord of our life. So we were redeemed from sin. We were redeemed from the curse of the law. You understand that the curse is death. Curse is sin. The curse is sickness. The curse is disease. The curse is poverty. The curse is lack. The curse is depression. The curse is anything bad that you can think of. And here our Jesus that was raised from the dead that we celebrate today redeemed us from the curse of the law. Someone shout amen to that. Because we have to understand that as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now look at the next thing that I saw that the blood does for us. It cost us to have fellowship with Him. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, most of us that are Christians know that before Jesus, you had to take your sin to a priest, and the priest had to take it into the glory of the Lord, the Holy of Holies. And we all know that they would wrap a rope around his leg, and they would try to make sure if the priest had any sin. If he did, the glory of God would drop him dead, and they would pull out the priest with a rope. It's amazing. But listen to me. Here's what Jesus did for us. He gave us the access to go boldly to God without having to go through some preacher or some church. You see, you right where you're sitting at home or where you're sitting in your vehicle can go boldly to God and communicate with Him. You see, that's what the blood did for us, is it caused us to have fellowship. And fellowship is closeness. Yes, we can't hug each other this morning. We can't shake hands like we're used to. But really, we need to understand that the blood of Jesus caused us to have a friendship with God, a closeness to Him. And that's what we have with our friends. That's what we have with God, hopefully. But it was bought with a price. You see, I think today it's more than important than anything to know that we can have fellowship with God. When things are going on in our life, we can go boldly to Him and talk to Him just like we talk to our friends and family. I always say it, that when you talk to God, talk to Him just like you talk, except leave out the cuss words. In other words, you don't have to use these, thous, and thuses to talk and communicate to God. No, all you got to do is say, Father, I need some help this morning. I need protection from that storm last night. I need to know that you love me. You see, that's true fellowship. Here's another one that I thought about when I was studying about the power of the blood of Jesus, is that we have healing through the blood. Isaiah 53:5 says it like this: by Jesus' stripes we are healed. In other words, you don't need a prescription. No, you just need an appointment with God. It's free, and it doesn't have any side effects, y'all. You see, the healing power of God you have at your disposal as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's why it declares that when He was beaten with that cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, it striped His body. And when it striped His body, it was declaring to the devil that by His stripes, you and I are healed. Not we're going to be healed. Not I'm hoping to be healed. No, we are healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. If I can clap, I would. You see, there's healing in that power. And I know it's not just physically, but today it might need to be actually emotion. Our emotional life, our soulish realm needs help today like any other time. Because we need to know that we don't have to be mentally disabled. No, we need to have the life of God. And we need to have His power. And we need to have that power of healing today. I'm sure you know of people that need to be healed of the coronavirus. I'm sure there are people that are still catching the flu. There's people that are having heart issues. There's people that are in the midst of depression today. Thank God for the power of healing. Here's something else that I want you to know about the power of the blood of Jesus, as that there is protection through the blood. Psalms chapter 91, if you begin to read it, it changed my life just 2 years ago when I was in a horse accident in Nebraska. We were steer roping. If you don't know what steer roping, it was one of two of the first events in rodeo, the saddle bronc riding and steer roping. It's where you rope a steer. He weighs 500 pounds or so. You rope him like you would heading a steer around the horns. And then it's like doctoring a cow out in the pasture when you don't have any pens to run him into, and you need to doctor him. You need to tend to him. You rope him and you throw the rope on his right side usually, and it turns him around where it makes him fall to the ground. They call it steer roping. And in the event, you go down off of your horse and you tie three legs. It's just like the event on the ranch when we're trying to, again, doctor an animal. You have to hold him down to give him a shot or whatever. So this event was happening in Burwell, Nebraska. And I was at the end of the go-around. There was about 70 to 80 people entered up that year. And I ran after a steer that was really running hard. And I come across there and I roped him. And I laid my trip down there to get him on his side so I can get off. And when my horse started to go to the left, the ground was really deep because of all the ropers that had just roped before me. And my horse stepped on his front feet with his back feet and he tripped. And he just began to go down. And I just have to be honest with you, I was thinking a lot of things in a quick moment of time. But all I do remember was thinking, uh-oh. And my head hit the ground so hard that I was out about 30 minutes. Matter of fact, I had hit so hard that when they did take me to the hospital, they had a jet as well as a helicopter ready to transport me because they knew that my brain was either bleeding or it was swelling. Now let me tell you about the power of protection. The power of Psalms 91 that declares, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will declare with my mouth that He's my refuge and my fortress. In Him, my God, will I trust." But in verse 10, listen to what it says, and I'll finish the story. It says in Psalms 91, verse 10, "There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling." Shall any plague, shall any coronavirus come nigh my dwelling? You and I can stand on Psalms 91 because, again, I pray Psalms 91 different after this accident. Because let me tell you what happened. I had steer ropers start running towards me. I had steer roping wives in the stands jump the fence. And you know what they did for me? They laid hands on me. They began to pray the power of Psalms 91, that no evil will befall me. They begin to lay hands like Mark chapter 16 says, that it says to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now again, they told me that I was going to have brain swelling and brain bleeding. These things can kill someone. Matter of fact, there's been people in the bull riding and other rodeo events and just any kind of event that has died from head injuries like I like what happened to me. But because I pray, because people laid hands on me, because my God protects me, ladies and gentlemen, when they did the CAT scan on my brain, they couldn't even find the sign of a concussion, to the glory of God. It's all because of the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more and I'll close. The power of Jesus gives us the authority over the devil. I don't know about you, but that'll make an Episcopalian shout right there. We have power over the devil. We have authority over him. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And they overcame him," Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." You see, you put the devil under your feet because you have the power of the blood of Jesus at your disposal. The power. We need the power more today than any other time. I was telling my children, I was saying, man, I can't believe that when you kids have kids and I have grandkids, we're going to be able to tell them that in 2020, the year 2020, and by the way, I took pictures at the HEB when my wife was in line, and the line went all the way around the building. People had masks on, they had gloves on, and that's what we're required to do right now. But I was amazed that in my lifetime, this is not when the Jews were being tortured, this is not when, you know, we had the Spanish flu. In my lifetime, I'm seeing people 6 feet apart with masks on that are around a building just to get groceries, where churches aren't even able to go into a big building to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. My horse just got excited. He just hollered a little bit. You see, there's something about having the authority over the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, what is your testimony this morning? Because if we put the blood of Jesus into our lives, I wrote down that the devil is under our feet. The blood is our defense. It kicks Satan out of our affairs. Let me tell you why I appreciate our governor of the state of Texas and our county judge who is allowing us to have this service. It's because, I don't know if you know it or have heard about it, but alcohol use is up over 200% right now. The sale of marijuana is up like you've never seen. Pornography is up like we've never seen in our history. The divorce rate is up even in the church more than any other time right now, because mamas are having kids at home and they're not used to it, and they're trying to teach them when they're not teachers, and they're just getting so bent out of shape and so stressed out that we're literally in having divorces like never before. People are wanting to give up. Suicides are up more than any other time. Depression. We're seeing people that are depressed, and maybe that's you here or watching today. Maybe you're going through some of these things, but I'm here to tell you right now that there's victory in the blood of Jesus. I just believe right now that it's important for all of us to plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. I'll close with this. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our families. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our businesses, over the economy of the United States of America. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our marriages like never before. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's the blood of Jesus that gives us the true power to again live a life of victory. You have that right now at your disposal. Only because of the blood of Jesus. Yes, we can put a cloth, a red scarf over the door of our homes. But that cloth, again, means absolutely nothing without the faith behind it. Because where the power truly is today is in that blood. And Jesus shed it. And he wants us to know today that it's time to start living for him. It's time to be born again if you're not. It's time to start living in victory and not in fear, even in the midst of this pandemic. We need to know that God loves us no matter what. He cares about everything in our life. That's why the Word of God declared that God knows even every little sparrow that flies. He knows the number of hairs that are on our head. You see, that's how much He cares and loves us. Because listen, He didn't have to shed His blood. He did not have to die for you and I. He could have said, "Father, it is too much pain." But obviously, we already know the answer to that, because Jesus declared, "It's not my power, it's not by my might, it's by God's." It's not all about Corey Ross. It's not all about you. It's by the power that lives on the inside of you. So when God shed and he said, "Father, it's not my will, but it's thy will be done," he said, "No, I freely give my life for all of these people and my love for them, but my love for you, the Father." And he gave his life. And again, thank God that today we can celebrate his resurrection. So I want you to have some confidence this morning. Anybody that's watching, anybody that's here in the sound of my voice, I want you to know that you need to start studying about the blood of Jesus if Jesus is the Lord of your life. If he's not, you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, then today you need to give your life to Jesus. But you notice, I didn't say I could make you do it, and God doesn't even make you give your life to him. But what he does do is he sets before you, this is in Deuteronomy, life and death, blessing and curse, the cursing. And he says, "But let me help you out. I want you to choose life and the blessing so that thou and thy seed may prosper." You see, it's up to you to choose Jesus. So if you're here watching or you're here in attendance in this service, I want to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus. I want you to know again, he loves you. He's so proud of you. He calls you a son and daughter of him. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're an heir of God, the Bible says, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That all the promises of God, the reasons that he died, the reason that he shed his blood, is available to you and I today. You and I can have victory and not be a victim any longer. You and I can have life, and again, not death. But is Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you know him? If you don't know him, I want you to meet him right now. I always love to pray a prayer in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that says this: if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You see, I want you to be saved because you're actually saved from hell. You see, hell is a real place. It's a place that you don't want to go to. I would rather you go to heaven, because heaven's a wonderful place. It has the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, the Prince of Peace that we're celebrating his resurrection of today is there in heaven. You can have all of those things in heaven, but here's an important thing. You can have it while you live here on this earth. All of my Catholic friends and all of you know this. I've done it so many times. Let's all pray it together, the Lord's Prayer. You ready? Let's just shout it out. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Now we can go on and continue the prayer, but the point is we're praying that God's will be done here on earth like it is in heaven. And here on earth, you have the power of his blood. You have redemption again. You have healing. You have fellowship. You have all the benefits, the authority of God. But are you saved? Is he the Lord of your life? If he's not, then let's pray this prayer. I'm going to ask anybody that's watching and here at the sound of my voice, if you've never given your life to Jesus, in other words, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you would go to heaven. You don't know if you'd go to hell. Maybe you haven't ever thought about it. Today, I want you to think about heaven. There's only one way, according to the book of John, chapter 14, that causes you entrance into heaven. Here's what it says. Verse 6, Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus. Is he the Lord of your life? If he's not, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me right now. All of the believers that are watching and that are here, I want you to pray this prayer as well. And we're going to invite Jesus into our hearts if you're doing it for the first time. But if you are already saved, then you're going to learn the spirit of this prayer. And you're going to be able to lead people to Jesus when we get back to working. Maybe family members that just won't give it up, but now the harvest is ripe and their hearts are open. If you know this prayer, you'll be able to lead them to Jesus, even if they wouldn't come to a drive-in. You'll be able to lead people to Jesus. I was gone for a minute, but I'm back. So we're all going to pray this prayer. You ready? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, we're going to pray it with someone beside us, possibly, that's never made Jesus the Lord of their lives. If you aren't saved, though, and you don't know what would happen to you, pray this prayer. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it out loud. I'm going to pray it. You pray it right after me, but listen to me. You mean everything that you pray. Mean it. And I'm telling you, when you die and leave this earth, you'll bust heaven wide open. It's a wonderful place to live. Let's pray. Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Thank you, Jesus, that you have been raised from the dead. And we celebrate that today. But Father, thank you that I can live for you today, right now, all of my life. And when I die, because I have prayed this prayer and I mean it, Jesus is now my Lord. When I die, I'm coming to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, if you're here, I want you to tell someone, maybe as you leave, just let them know, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that. Maybe you might tell some friend. But just before we start leaving, and I'll dismiss us in prayer, I want you to know that if you don't live here, I want you to find a good Bible-believing church wherever you live. Maybe some people are here and they go to other churches. This is a great time to get more involved in your church. And in your little packet, I want you to grab your packet that you got with your music. You'll notice that there's two things that I want you to see right before we're dismissed and we leave. The first thing I want you to see is the paper that is the food pantry paper. I have not opened this up to the public. I've only opened this up to our church members. But as I said last week, if you came to this service and you're here, you are an honorary member today. As you noticed on that sheet, we're going to allow people to order food that Sysco Foods that actually gets the food to all the restaurants. And how many of you know that's not happening right now? So they have warehouses of food that they have given us incredible prices to buy. And, I mean, I even checked out some hamburger meat, and I know it fluctuates, but I noticed that my wife had bought some from a store, and for 2.5 pounds, it was $9. And you notice, if you look, the hamburger meat, the patties are 5 pounds for $12. So, man, you're saving a lot of money. And so I want you to be able to fill that out, because the deadline each week is 5 o'clock on Monday, which is tomorrow. So if you want to take advantage and you have that sheet, then I want you to take advantage, because it ends at 5 o'clock on Monday, not Tuesday at noon like last week. 5 o'clock Monday is when we're going to order it, and we're going to then get it to you by at least Thursday, probably Friday. It will get you your food. The only thing that did not come in this last week was toilet paper. Wouldn't you believe it? But we got a load in, and it's coming on Monday to get to people on Tuesday. So still order it, but everything else came in. Now realize it's in bulk. So when you get a pound of sugar or a pound of flour or a pound of rice or beans, we have to literally, with gloves and mask on, separate that on a weighing machine to get you a pound, put in a little baggie. And so that's how you'll get it. It's a wonderful way, but everything else usually is the way it is. So if you want to order right now, then you got to pay for it. Just give it to one of the ushers as you leave. And here's the last thing, and then we'll close and dismiss. You have that offering envelope in your car as well. Here's what, as I was praying, here's what I want to do with the offering today. Over and above your tithe, I realize that we give offerings and things like that, but the Lord has put on my heart that a lot of what comes in, and maybe you even want to fill it out and just designate this, there are small churches, there are evangelists that had calendars booked that cannot go and minister anywhere. Matter of fact, they told me that there's churches even in our community that are just small churches that they have had to lay off their one employee. They are not able to pay for their electricity. On that offering envelope, if God puts it on your heart, I want to give some evangelists that don't have income coming in right now, I want to be able to give them like $1,000 just to bless them. Because listen to me, they can't go and get a loan since we're non-taxable. Ministers are non-taxable. We're non-profit. So they don't have the luxury of going to the bank and getting a small business loan. I want to bless some churches that I have discovered, and some evangelists and ministers that are just flat starving right now. So if God puts it on your heart after you give your tithe, then I want you to just say, hey, I want to bless a church, and here's a little bit to go to that. Amen. And as you leave, you know there's buckets. You don't have to give it. You can just drop it in, or you can give it to one of the ushers. And we're going to use money the way God wants us to use it, to be a blessing to not just our community, but to ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ that are not having any income coming in. Would you shout amen for that? We need to bless our community. And then when the restaurants open back up, I want you to bless them. And I want to go to them and get this economy back going. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Amen. I want to thank the Wrangler Network and anybody else that watched us live. It was an honor to have you. I also want to thank all of you guys. I know I had to keep to the right today because of the wind. I wasn't able to get to a lot of our great folks over here, but I'm going to try to park my horse outside, and I want to wave at all of you as you leave. It's been a pleasure to be able to preach, unlike we've ever preached on an Easter service in the history of the United States of America. The way we had to do it today was just the way we had to do it. But one thing we know, that God got magnified, Jesus is Lord, and there's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. As you leave this ranch called Harvest Ranch, I want you to know that we love you. We're going to have this drive-in service until we can come into this building and meet. And so next week, we're going to set back up the sound system, and we're going to continue to praise our God, even if we have to do it in our vehicles. Amen. On Tuesday, I want you to always remember that we have a live broadcast on our Facebook, Williamson County Cowboy Church Facebook page. And on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're going to do a live feed with Dennis Luton on the second part of Hope. We desperately need hope. So tune in on Tuesday at 7 o'clock and don't miss that broadcast. Or y'all that are watching, tune in next week at 10:30. Hope the rest of you can come. Thanks to all the people that drove. I know people drove from San Saba. They drove from Elgin. They drove many miles just to be at this drive-in service, and I want to thank you. Amen. We love you. Father, thank you again for just allowing us to meet here. Not just right here in the parking lot, but people watching, people across the street that are in their lawn chairs in front of their homes, being able to be a part of a resurrection Sunday service, Easter service. And Father, I realize that the kids didn't get to have an Easter egg hunt. They got to have it in their car a little bit, but they really didn't get to have it like we normally do to celebrate this holiday. So I just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to have a building to be a church. Even if we're in cars, we are the church. So I just thank you, Lord, that regardless of how we're having to meet all across the country, you still are our God. You still reign in our lives. You still want us to have victory and not defeat. So bless today. Thank you, Lord, that you don't stay here in this parking lot. You now get to go with us because you never leave us and you never forsake us. So thank you, Lord. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Honk your horn, shout hallelujah. We love you. God bless you.